folks are Harry and Cecilia jumping bone. My dad's great grandfather was Sitting Bull, you know, from North Dakota. He's from 48th area, down North Dakota, and my dad, that's where my dad got his name, Jumping Bull, and we live here. I'm 73 years old now, and that's, you know, we lived here way before that, you know, and we've been, has cattle and horses there, and because my brother, oldest brother that was killed in World War II, he got a kind of this fatty share, they call it. When you're 18 years old, the government gives you, you know, something. So he gave him a cow, and so, and a calf, I think, cow with a calf or something. So he had him, and that was when he got killed in 1944 in Battle of Bulge in Germany. So the cattle were still there. We still have them up to this day. But my dad, he kept those cattle there. Pretty soon we have about 40, I think. But that's how come we still live there, you know. We lived there for a long time. And Mom and Dad really likes, you know, boys visiting them, you know, because I think they kind of miss my brother, my oldest one. And so when boys go there, they accept them, you know. They ask them if they could stay or if they have any place to, you know, they want to stay with them. They let them stay there, you know. So that's how come these boys were there. And they came to help the elderly, but then they don't have nowhere to go. So when they ask them, you can stay here, well, you're welcome anytime. My mom, that's my mother's land, you know. So that's how come we live. We used to have a big community garden there, and we have some cellars there that we put Mom and Dad put potatoes in there and squash and everything. They have a big garden, so everybody comes and help with the garden, and all winter long they use that. They use those stuff to, you know, they use the vegetables. They come after potatoes. Neighbors, you know, we're all related there. So that's how we live on that ranch, you know, that place where the shootout was. But a lot of people always go there, and when my dad built the first house, they all come and help. We don't have to pay anybody to build it. A whole community came and helped build my dad's house. Both of them, one down below and one up on top, and that's how come we have them houses there. And then if anybody else wants to build house, then my dad and them all go and help, you know. They put up houses like that. We all help each other. We don't do that anymore. We have to pay our own grandchildren to do things for us. But long time ago, nobody pays, you know, each other for doing things. They all help each other. So that's how come we have that big garden there.
And your mom, what is her family line?
What do you mean?
I mean, who's her? Who is her family?
Well, my mother is a black elk, you know, and she's originally from. I think she's from. She grew up in Allen, South Dakota, someplace that way, and my dad was born in Standing Rock, but my grandmother brought him back over here and enroll him over here, so that's where he's from. That's where, but we have land in Standing Rock. We get lease money from Standing Rock, you know.
So your dad is, that's, he's not Oglala, he's Onkpapa?
Onkpapa, yeah, he's supposed to be, but he's not enrolled over there. See, my grandmother's from here, so she went and brought him back over here and enrolled him in this reservation.
So you're on your great grandparents' side, you're related to Sitting Bull on your dad's side, and your And your mom is related to
it. Too, you know.
On Black Elk on the other side.
Yeah, Black Elk is, I think he's from here, Black Elk.
I know, Stella came, is a bad heart boy that they, she grew up from the, out in the Blacktail Deer District. And then when I was back there a couple summers ago, or several, we when Sam and them were alive, and we went out there, and we went by this house. It was like a Model A Ford there or some kind of. It's now a flower pot, but as he was saying, that's where Old Man Black Elk lived, out that way.
Oh, yeah, I think my mother and my dad from number 4, a little ways from here, they used to live over there. I mean, my grandfather and my grandma.
Oh, okay. So, and then in 1982, I had relocated back to the reservation there, and I was trying to help around there. And I was given this name, Wombly Watakpe, and we were at the round building. And Harry was singing, sang the hookah song, and your mom and Stella and all of the women were asking me if I had a native Indian name, and I said I didn't have one. So they gave me this name. Well, we lost our connection here momentarily. So, anyway, the I was given this name, and I was involved in raising funds for community building, or community dinner. And then what happened was, as a result of that, I was given this honor, and I got this name, Wombly Watakpe, which means charging eagle. And the name itself was originally intended for Joe Stuntz, who grew up in Port Angeles by way of Coeur d'Alene. He's a Coeur d'Alene tribe. And the shootout happened in 1975. I don't know why they call it a shootout, because it actually was just defense of the land. I mean, the FBI can go around and say that everybody's attacking these guys, but they're the ones that have the guns. They're the ones that arm and supply and do the murder, death, kill on everybody. But in this case, they had entered onto the property under false pretenses, and as a result, there was a battle. And that's what happened. And there wasn't no execution or whatever. And at that time, that's when Joe Stuntz was killed. In the line of, in honor, the most honorable way, in the defense of his land and in the defense of his people. And so in 1975, he was killed, and then 7 years later, I happened to move back and relocate, and I was doing these activities in Oglala through the Lone Man School, and I got this name, and so that's the history of the name.
We lost the Grandma Jumping Bull's connection because we ran out of our phone card, I'm afraid. But if you're interested in donating for the needs of the Oglala people in Pine Ridge, or for just the gift drive for the children, you can send your donations to Rosalind Jumping Bull, Box 207, Oglala, South Dakota, 57764. And you're listening to the Tashunka Witko Brigade on Free Radio Olympia. 98.5. I'm having a little trouble here.
Yeah. Running through the snow so cold. You gotta that night after the massacre was over, and a death chant for being sung. The Great Spirit, he sent down a white blanket of snow to cover all his dead children who were murdered down below. Well, I heard the cavalry celebrating years, and I guess they gave their cheers. While in a bitter cold, my people try to dry their tears. Well, a few days later, they gathered all the frozen bodies and wagons, buried them in one massive grave. About 267 men, women, and children, old people who died so innocently but brave. Oh yes, that's all been a nightmare to me. For you see, I was a little boy. And that's why you gotta keep it running.
Buddy Redbow here on the Tashunka Wetko Brigade. And you heard an interview by Wambliwat Rosalind Jumping Bull, the elder matriarch of the Jumping Bull family. And you heard it yourselves that her ancestry is Sitting Bull on her father's side and Black Elk on her mother's side. And she's a relative of Wambliwa Tahpe through ceremony, since the Loud Hawk family is a Wambli's family, and they share this ancestry. So I feel honored to be here as a co-host of this show. This is the Tashunka Wetko Brigade. Tashunka Wetko Brigade. Our program is named after and inspired by the warrior known as Crazy Horse by the invader, the legendary Akichita of the Oglala Lakota Nation. His real name was Tashunka Witko, which translates to "his horse is enchanted" rather than "crazy horse." We are a brigade as we stand for resistance and freedom and aim to deconstruct colonialism and demystify the concept of America. This country was built on stolen land and ill-gotten through extreme violence and cruelty on the indigenous people. And to do this, it was necessary to demonize our people so that they could slaughter us like animals and slaughter the buffalo and anything that provided for our ancestors. The description of our show has brought some negative commentary from somebody out there, and I don't know why we are attracting so much attention from our little show in this little unlicensed radio in the middle of nowhere. I think in part is that we added two words, jihad and Al Jazeera. We want to be like Al Jazeera, a program that brings you the truth from Indian country. And well, I hate that word Indian because it's such a misnomer that does not belong to us. But from this land that is indigenous, from the people that are living the reality imposed upon them under siege, just like Al Jazeera does. And well, we hope better than that. And the jihad is just another word for sacred struggle. So if when you hear these two words, you think violence and negative, remember that you are at one end of the perception management campaign that your government and this evil construct called America puts in your head. So think about it. Think about why you're thinking of these words. Why do you assume that they are negative? We're talking about sacred struggle, the struggle of Sitting Bull, the struggle of Trashunka Witko, the struggle of Wahi Lut, and so many courageous warriors that walk first before the people in the time of war and walk behind the people in time of peace. This is what we attempt to do here. And we'll hear what Wamuli Watakpe thinks about this and continue with a little bit of music and have a small homage to another warrior that was murdered today by this government, by the state of California, Stanley Tukey Williams.
Yeah, the only thing that I wanted to add was that in a excerpt today, the president of the colonial state said that the problem in the Middle East was from the Arabic media, who he claims keeps pounding their own people with distortions concerning why the American invaders are in the Middle East, not just in Iraq, but all over the Middle East. What a novel concept, you know, a country doing its own thing, telling its own citizens about aliens that are in their midst, carrying guns and, you know, shooting people indiscriminately. It's not too far-fetched from what they're doing over here. I mean, in a sense of the police brutality issues that have gone completely off the map. And we're talking about a Richter scale registration of 10.0 and better as far as the police brutality. And we have nothing in place of that except the same excuse. And usually, not in all cases, but usually, an overwhelming percentage of the people that are doing the shooting are European Americans or people that are heavily colonialized. And a large number of these cases, as you heard, Buddy Redbow, who is deceased, died in 93. He's from Red Shirt Table, which is north of Oglala, and he was talking about in that song, Running from Wounded Knee, which was, again, the same scenario. The military, whether they're call themselves police or militia or goons or heroes or whatever, have shown up, taken herded up a unarmed, lightly armed, if you will, population that was running from them in the first place from the northern part of South Dakota to seek refuge in what they call Pine Ridge Indian Reservation now. It used to be called Red Cloud Agency. And when they were surrounded by the 7th Cavalry, yes, the same 7th Cavalry that went into Iraq, they were surrounded and detained at Wounded Knee Creek. And lo and behold, that's who they were running from, what happens comes to fruition. The 7th Cavalry murders over 300 Hunkpapa and Minikoju and tribal members, and then builds a mass grave or creates a mass grave and just dumps the bodies in. And as you heard on the song, the Buddy Red Bull just went to the history books and pulled out exactly the accounts of what happened at Wounded Knee. This is what's happening everywhere. It's not just happening here, but it became the construct for what was going on. And that's more than just saying colonialism. That's more than just saying hegemony. That's violence. That's extermination. That's an alienation and violence. And that was the policy of this country for many years, dealing with the indigenous populations. And then it changed to assimilation. Now, yes, you better believe that Tashinko Witko Brigade is going to be bringing that kind of information. And yes, we're going to be hearing from the George Bush-like mimics out there who are going to say that we're violent because we dare to bring up the fact that our people are getting murdered in all manner and forms by military, vigilantes, whether they're, as we heard down in Australia, another white country originally from the prison systems, the penal systems in England settled. And that's another word we can get into later on, the term settle, who were dropped in the Aboriginal lands of Australia a day before yesterday, went on a rampage, and they were picking out people of whom they thought were Middle Eastern ethnicity and beating them, killing them, pulling them out of cars and whatnot. And then when some other people who were walking back to the same community, they were detained and placed under arrest by the white police because they were Middle Eastern too. So we had the same people being attacked for their ethnicity for different reasons. One is because the vigilantism is that's rampant in all the countries where the white culture is, because that's not their original culture, goes around killing the indigenous populations. And then when the indigenous populations comes about or shows their face, they're arrested because of their ethnicity, because it's deemed that they may be a retaliation, and that was the word they used. They were arrested because they were suspected of seeking revenge. So this is what Buddy Red Bull was talking about in that song about Wounded Knee, and he's from Red Shirt Table, and right just the outskirts of Red Shirt Table is the Badlands, and that's where the stronghold was, and that's where the people ran from Wounded Knee to the stronghold. And they went into the Badlands. It's like a giant labyrinth. And the soldiers that followed them in there to finish them off, many of those soldiers never came out of that labyrinth. The same thing that happened in Oglala when the FBI launched an unprovoked an attack upon the citizens, as you heard Rosalind, and they were met with resistance. The same government then turns around and says that these people are criminals and that they murdered. We cannot live in that kind of a society. I refuse to live in that kind of a society and not say anything about it. So, yes, we're going to be speaking up about it. And like the president saying that it's the Arabic stations getting out the wrong message. Hey, people, it's their land. They can say anything they want to on their land. It's their country. And when people are doing that kind of violence to you, indiscriminate killing, and so on and so forth, somebody better speak up. I mean, that's your job is to go out and defend. I mean, you don't need an official status to defend your family. And if you're being attacked, I don't care what the official status is. Policemen do not have the right to shoot you down just because you don't look like a European or a white American. Or if that's going to be the uniform by which they're going by, then I say bring it on, man. You know, you can't be hiding behind the civility and then be flip-flopping back between being at war, killing everybody, and then when they fight back, do the Chief Leshai thing and say, oh, he's a criminal now because he killed two soldiers who were already, what were they doing in the beginning? They were shooting innocent tribal people and then claim that some crime has been committed. No, we're not having that. And as a result of that, we urge people not to go to courts. We urge people not to to participate in a society that's talking out both sides of the mouth. Because why should you want to participate in a society if you are based upon the principles of freedom, a true society, participate in that kind of fascism? And it's not just fascism remotely connected to regime of the Nazis. We have the same regime, the same mentality, and many peoples have benefited from the so-called Nazi war machine in so many other ways other than just the historical accounts of atrocities. Because now we have Israel doing the same thing that through their IDF forced the Palestinian people. The space system that was taken from, that is so successful in the United States, was developed by Wernher von Braun, who was a Nazi scientist, and developed the V-1 and V-2 rockets. We have a Pope who is was a Hitler youth back in his younger days. We have Arnold Schwarzenegger killing Tookie Williams because his legacy is he's Austrian, just like Adolf Hitler. We have so much historical, psychological issues to deal with, and everybody says, oh, we can't look at that because that's not what it is. Well, I'm sorry, that is what it is. That's exactly what it is. And so, yes, we're going to keep speaking out, and yes, you can silence one person, and no, we're not going to be silent. We're not going to shut up, and we're not going to go away like the Aslan La Raza brothers say, you know, we ain't going anywhere. And this is our land, and we're going to show you that this is our land, and we're going to develop a new society, a new way to do things. And no, we're not going to fall into your traps of violence and all those little word games that are being played out there, whether you're on the right or the left or the middle. It's time to wake up and time to not the mainstream society wake up. I'm talking about the indigenous people, the oppressed society. It's time to put the colonial toys away, the addictions. It's time to start talking to each other about our living testimonies. It's time to start re-examining how we were massacred. I mean, you have a society here that calls itself these drug dealer type names, you know, like a free society, you know, we're for justice. Yet you look at their history, and there's nothing in there that even remotely resembles that. And when we talk about people that came over here, and to say that they stole the land is not even accurate as far as a word. There's no word to describe what happens when you totally annihilate a population. Not only did they annihilate the population, they are still annihilating that population, but they also murdered the earth itself. I mean, there's been all kinds of mining. There's been all kinds of, there's more species of plants and animals that are no longer here because of that invasion. There are no more, the rivers don't even flow in their original paths anymore. So to say that they have just done something to the two-legged is wrong. They've done something to all of creation, including the land that they stand on. They've murdered the land. They've polluted the air. They've murdered the air. They've massacred just about every fabric of the life equation. And they do it to remake it over in their own image. So let's get down to the brass tacks here. Why are they doing this? Well, it's real simple. They're doing it because they don't like the way it is and they want to change it to suit their needs. And their needs it's hard to figure out what their needs are, because their needs are based on some very individualized programs that may change. I mean, back in the day when Custer went into the Black Hills and violated the treaty, it was for gold. Well, back in those days, gold was what oil is today. We find out that down in Argentina and other places in South America, the United States corporations are buying up water. So the next construct, the political battlefield is not going to be just oil, but it's going to be water. We look at the Middle East, we find out that why is it that this country has so many of its troops stationed in those lands which have the most oil? If you play chess or you play any kind of game that's a strategic game, it looks pretty simple. They're like in Risk, the game Risk. You just line your people up in the cities and the lands that you want to invade. Well, that's what's going on. Because why? Because the West is going to run out of oil because they don't have any. The next thing that's going to happen is they're going to use up the water. Not to mention the fact that they have destroyed a lot of water. So this is what Al Jazeera is doing, and this is what other stations, and this, we urge more Al Jazeeras. We urge more low-power FMs. We get your own radio station. Get your own TV. Don't look at the stupid TV put out by all these talking heads. Do your own thing. Get out there and get into this whole idea of life and shape it all over again. We have to deconstruct it. We have to reconstruct it. And we have to move on. And no, we don't have time to be getting caught up in your political games of violence and stuff. And for those people out there saying that they didn't do anything, that's bull. You're saying you're not doing anything is doing something. Because you're not doing anything to change the construct. You're just complaining and you're a professional activist and a career protester. That's not covering it for me. That's the same thing that the people think that the settlers, I was going to say something about that word. Back in the 1800s, when they were murdering all the indigenous people, those that were set up in the East Coast in New York, that's native land too. They were saying, oh, we feel so sorry for the native people. We're going to have a benevolent society. I ain't having none of that. We ought to have a benevolent society for all the white people that ought to be killed out there, you know, for all the murders. And I mean, just because of the crimes they're committing, they ought to be in the places instead of people like Tookie Williams and all the other brothers that are sitting on death row. And the list is long and growing longer all the time. They even managed to kill a sister here back in Texas here. So my take on all of this is the same. We're not here. We're here to get to the ugly truth of the situation. And out there in the greater expanse of the society, you don't know the truth. It's like that line in A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth.
Before any more of our warriors become transitioned or given death or life sentences, we must recognize those who gave so much for us, who gave so much for the struggle. We must save Muni Abu Jamal. We must save Imam Jamil Al-Amin. We must save Leonard Peltier. We must free all political prisoners. We must shorten the sentences of PPs who need parole, and remember that Marilyn has 80 years to do. Now I'm here. They fought for us. We must fight for them. Remember, they are on the front lines of struggle, and the front line is behind the wall.
One, two, coming for you.
Okay, we're back. An amazing way to get through here.
Last night,
so, in terms of the issue here,
in a violent rage. Open my journal, then let the ink bleed on the page until it formed me on stage. Still abstract, like unidentified objects. Find my name scrawled on the wall.
We will rotate the themes, but it fits in well, given what's happening in California with the execution of Tookie Williams.
That was Yuri Kochiyama.
And also we had Yuri Kochiyama, who has, who was at the side of Malcolm X when he was assassinated in 1965. She's Japanese, grew up here in this country. Was one of the many the Japanese people who were put in internment camps, and she is 87 right now, and she's made it her life work to visit people in prison and to speak up for them whenever she can.
And she has recently been nominated for the Nobel Prize. So we are getting ready to go, and we leave you with the Sons of the Oglalas. It's a recording from the Omaka Techa Wachipi, did I say it right, honey? In Oglala in 2000. It's a wonderful occasion.
Crazy Horse Singers, Crazy Horse Juniors.
Fire!
They can hear you. They can hear you. Na pwede chak upo church ashakim. Crazy Horse Juniors. Don't you just hate that when they fool you like that?